Okay. Okay. So anyway, for those of us who are going to join on recording, this is day two of our what I felt inspired to call coronavirus miracles healing sessions. That's what we're calling them. And today's day number two. I'm Seema Khaneja. And what I was sharing is that I wanted to talk about miracles, which even when you think about coronavirus miracles, those two things don't seem to go together. You know, in the world as we see it, we think coronavirus and it's all suffering and illness and who's, you know, who's really, really sick and people have died and just all of that, all the havoc that this virus seems to create. So coronavirus miracles, right from that point, I feel spirit is showing us, no, it doesn't have to be this way. There's a different way to see this. So the idea that I was inspired to talk about is the blocks to the miracles, because how many times have we had this experience where we pray or we seem to pray and we're asking, but we still seem to be receiving these reflections that continue to engender fear or sorrow or sadness? And so it's really tricky. It's really tricky because, it's hard to hold a steady light. Just now, I was talking to my friend, and his brother is a firefighter, and he's gone back to work, and he was like talking about all the different things that he's experiencing and he's seeing. And he was expressing to me about how it's like, it's crazy. It just is crazy. So in that time, what does it mean to experience miracles? And if we are open to that, then what are the blocks that perhaps we can collectively join and release for individually, but also extend to our brothers and sisters. Okay, so I wanted to start by sharing this idea before I get into the lesson. Here's a poem from Rumi that I really feel can be so super helpful. And as always, whatever I share materials, I'm going to do my best to do an email and put all that stuff in there. So I just want you to just relax and listen and just take this in. You know, really, there's nothing for you to figure or anything. So everything will be shared. So the poem, I bet many of you probably know it. The Guest House. How many of you probably have heard that poem, The Guest House by Rumi? Yeah. So it came to my mind today, and I'm just gonna allow me to read it for you. The guest house. This being human is a guest house. Every morning, a new arrival. And we could say this world is a guest house. This whole planet is a guest house right now. Every morning, a new arrival. And guess what's arrived? It's coronavirus. That's what's arrived. A joy, a depression, a meanness, some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all, even if they are a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture. Still, treat each guest honorably. He may be clearing you out for some new delight. The dark thought, the shame, the malice, meet them at the door, laughing and invite them in. Be grateful for whatever comes because each has been sent as a guide from beyond. And maybe we can't really invite this with smiles. Maybe all we have is tears. Maybe all we have is sadness, or all we have is fear. But even then, this poem is so wise because it's saying it's uninvited, but it's actually coming to help you. It's coming to clear you out for some unexpected delight that we have no idea what it is right now. We cannot guess. We cannot fathom. We cannot fathom. So this idea, if we can just open to that, I want you to just hold that space of, and yesterday we talked about that poem, What If? What if this is, as Rumi is saying, clearing us out, old systems that no longer work, economic systems, social systems, how we show up at work systems, how we show up at school. You know, it used to be, it was like 180 days of school to pass, and they've waived that, right? Because it's not going to happen. So, wow, like, what is learning? You know, how is learning going to happen? What does it mean to be in community? Everything, everything, everything is being cleared out. And then as I was pondering that, I was led to this experience. And actually, my mom, she's on here, so she's going to appreciate this, because this is what I learned from her. And this is the festival of Dushera, which happens for us in October, usually in the fall. And I wrote this on a post. Basically, it's this festival where, from our mythology, the embodiment of good has victory over the so-called embodiment of evil. So basically, Lord Rama kills Ravan. Rama is the incarnation of God, Vishnu, and Ravana is this like evil demon king. You know, that's what his that's what his title is. So I'm just going to read a little bit, because I think there's some stuff here that might be helpful. So, according to mythology, when Lord Rama kills Ravana, who has 10 heads, he immediately dies and is literally burned away. Even the term Dushara means the destroying of 10 heads or evil. So Dushara, which falls on the 10th day after 9 days of worship of the goddess, also is known as Vijayadashami, or victory on the 10th day. I recall on one visit to New Delhi, witnessing the hundreds of feet tall effigy of Ravana being burnt away to celebrate the Dushara, literally, like, you know, hundreds of feet tall. However, my grandmother would bow to the effigy of this so-called demon king, because she taught us that Ravana was also a scholar of the ancient Indian scriptures, a brave king, and an ardent devotee of Lord Shiva. His 10 heads represent the ego mind that confuses us and can drown out the voice for love and peace. But he was not all bad. So she taught my mom, and my mom taught me, to even when you go there to bow to him, because there was wisdom and knowledge in him, but that ego mind just swept, you know, didn't allow it to come. Okay. So according to mythology, when Ravana died, the final words he uttered were Shri Ram, Shri Ram, Shri Ram, like, hey, God, 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 like that's what came from him. And this allowed him to enter moksha, or enlightenment, after death. Basically, in the last moments of his death, he realized his mistakes, and that dying at the hands of Lord Rama was actually a boon and a blessing. And some scholars even say that that's what he was really asking. And his whole thing was really, really this call for love. And that's what I want us to reflect on, because I feel there's like a rich symbolism in this story, a permission to bring darkness to the light, to allow egoic tendencies and old unhealthy patterns to be burnt away. To know that if I feel fear or resistance, that too is okay. And we could add sadness and frustration and anger, grief. Even within the fear and darkness, there is this glorious call to love, a desire for healing. I join with this call. I answer this call. We are all answering this call and are joining together. In the end, the light prevails. In the end, compassion and mercy will win, as they did for even for the mighty Ravana. So I thought about the coronavirus, and I keep having this image of like this hero's journey and this big, big monster that's like, you know, just overwhelming, overwhelming. But when we reach in to light, and when we sort of listen to Rumi and say, okay, I'm not going to resist. I don't like what's happening. I don't like how this is all, you know, topsy-turvy and changing my life. It's not what I like. It's not my preference. But there's something here. So can I just breathe? Can I just breathe? So what I'd like us to do, because this is about words and about sharing, but my desire is for us to have an experience, for us to have these experience of an inner shift. So I'd like to just lead us in sort of a guided reflection, meditation. You can keep your eyes open. You can, you know, close your eyes or just listen, whatever feels comfortable. And I want you to just breathe in and just let yourself be. What if this is an invitation for me, for us, for the whole world, to step into something more, something that we don't even know what it is, but something that we know we have been asking for in dreams, in our journals, in our conversations, in our prayers, a relief, a letting go, an allowance to slow down, to not feel so heavy, to not feel so responsible, to lay down guilt and attack of ourselves, of others. What if the coronavirus is a call to deep, deep, deep love? A love that goes down to our very, very core, down to our bones, deep to the roots, down to the center of the earth, so deep. And it's so deep, it's been so hidden, so there is so much sadness of what we have denied ourselves for so long that was always there. Maybe there's anger, frustration. Maybe there's fear. We feel like we're in free fall. Nothing is as it used to be. So what if we bow down to this coronavirus and say, Namaste. I want to see the light in you. I want to see the message you are sharing with me. A message that it's time for me to hear and listen. You are part of this whole play. So I don't want to run. I don't want to hide. I am here in all my nakedness, in my fear, my doubts, my confusion, my sorrow. I am here. But I am not here alone. I am with all the light of all the angels, the gods, the goddesses, whatever higher power, divine intelligence, universal goodness, whatever it is we subscribe to, whatever our beliefs are. I am not alone. And there's nothing for me to even do right now. I can just simply breathe and be, just be with all of me. Nothing to hide, nothing to deny. I'm tired of denying. I'm tired of pretending. I don't have to be spiritual. I don't have to be a good course student. I don't have to be a good anything. Just being me is enough. Put down the masks. Put down the roles. And just stand here with all my vulnerability. All of it. Taking a deep, deep breath. In this present moment, I join with what is before me. I join. I accept. I allow. I let the waves of emotion, whatever seems to be coming up, to pass through me, holding them in this infinite light and love. Nothing to fix, nothing to change, nowhere to go, nothing to do. Just here. Just being here is all that is being asked. Another deep, deep breath, releasing. Let the breath go through your body, down all the way to your feet, as deep as it will go. Let it go. Another deep breath. Coronavirus, you are a teacher to us all. I am willing to learn whatever it is I need to learn. I don't even know what it is or what I need to unlearn. I don't know what that is. But I trust. I'm feeling a trust because I know I'm not alone. The light is here. All my beloved mighty companions are with me. We are all in this journey together, always. Those who are here physically and all those that may listen to this later and even those that may never listen, all minds are joined. Everyone is welcome. So I'm going to be quiet for a few moments and let this all sink in. if we can give ourselves permission to fall through the layers of doubt and fear and confusion and anger and sadness and grief with the light, with the love, we will fall into deeper and deeper love. That is the ground, the very being of our existence. So I thank you all for joining me today. We are asked to be gentle, yet warriors in this time. Gentle warriors, peaceful warriors. So I'm gonna continue, but if you're feeling to stay where you are, you could even, you know, just continue. Just do what feels right, really. So this is an invitation to follow whatever feels right. And what I'm feeling prompted to do before I go a little bit deeper into the lesson for today is I wanted to, I know all of us are, you know, on Facebook and we're reading all kinds of stuff. But my friend, Beth Rordham, she posted something about, some new information that was coming about the coronavirus. So I'm just going to pull it out. My friend Calico in Mexico had done this too. So yeah, so I'm finding it here. So I'm just gonna read some of it because this is from Beth. And I think this is like Bloomberg News. So how about some good news about the coronavirus? China has closed down its last coronavirus hospital, not enough new cases to support them. Doctors in India have been successful in treating coronavirus. There's a combination of different antiretroviral drugs, and they're suggesting this. Researchers at this, I don't know where this is, Erasmus Medical Center, they claim to have found an antibody against the coronavirus. A 103-year-old Chinese grandmother has made a full recovery from COVID-19 after being treated for 6 days in Wuhan, China. And most of us know that's where this all supposedly started. Cleveland Clinic has a COVID-19 test that gives results in hours, not days. Good news from South Korea that the number of cases is declining. Scientists in Israel likely to announce the development of a coronavirus. Three Maryland coronavirus patients fully recovered, able to return to everyday life. And there's more things like that. So this is just for us to say that when we give ourselves to this desire for healing, we will receive those reflections. We will. And it just is going to take a lot of willingness right now because this is not like anything we've ever experienced. So I believe I said this yesterday too. If our mind training has been here, we're going to have to go here. Or if you want to say it was here, you're going to have to go deeper. Whatever way of looking at it works for you. And I want to now look at this lesson. I'll check the time here. I want to look at this lesson. 23 And it's saying, I can escape from the world I see by giving up attack thoughts. So attack thoughts, any thoughts from that egoic separated mind. The idea for today contains the only way out of fear that will ever succeed. Nothing else will work. Everything else is meaningless. But this way cannot fail. Every thought you have makes up some segment of the world you see. It is with your thoughts then that we must work. It is with our thoughts then that we must work. And we must repeat this. It is with our thoughts then that we must work. If your perception of the world is to be changed. If the cause of the world you see is attack thoughts, then it is these thoughts which you do not want. There is no point in lamenting the world. There is no point in trying to change the world. It is incapable of change because it is merely an effect. But there is indeed a point in changing your thoughts about the world. Here, you are changing the cause. The effect will change automatically. So it is with our thoughts. And I'm gonna illustrate this in a bit, because someone did a really beautiful thing where she wrote out all of her thoughts about illness and the body and sickness. And I'm gonna pull it out. But as I am talking about this, and maybe this is something you can do later and we can do together, you know, when we open it up as a conversation, but this is an invitation, because some people will say, well, I meditate and then I feel peaceful, but then my peace leaves, or I do this and then it's gone again. This happens or that happens. So those are all opportunities for our practice. Excuse me. I'm just going to take a sip of water. Excuse me. So when those things happen, they're just an opportunity for us to realize that whatever I'm seeing is like, let's say you have a picture and it's pixels, right? It's different pixels. So everything I'm seeing is like beliefs. A belief there, a belief there, a belief there, a belief there. Some I'm really aware of, some I'm not aware of. The ones that bother me the most are the ones I'm not aware of, because they're so buried that I want to just, it's so uncomfortable. So it's like that hot potato, right? Like I just want to throw it. I want to throw it outside. And outside, it's not comfortable, but it feels like it's someone else's issue, someone else's problem, whatever. Now we have this thing that you can't go anywhere. One of the clients I was coaching, he was like, there's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to go. And he didn't mean just physically. I think he didn't realize it, but it was like, there's nowhere to go in the mind. Like there's nowhere to go. Everywhere I turn, it's here. It's here, right? This uninvited guest is here, and I can't hide. I can't hide. So that's where first we have to relax. You know, we can't meet this when it's like this feeling of it's attacking us. We can't meet it with that space of it just is more. It's going to be like fuel to the fire. It's just going to go there. So what we can do is breathe and say, okay, let me first relax. When I did my yoga teacher training, and we were, you know, taught how to teach meditation, it was very systematic. You first had to kind of relax the body. Then you had to kind of relax the mind. Then you could enter into meditation. Like that was like the last step. So if we're having trouble with that, like let's be easy, because there is so much stimulation and so many things coming. The mind is spinning. The earth is spinning. It feels like the earth is spinning out of its orbit. It feels like that. So today we did that first. We just let ourselves be quiet. Just be quiet. So then, together in this comfortable, beautiful, loving space of no judgment that Spirit has given us, that we can bring these thoughts up. We can bring them up into the awareness. What is this showing me? What aspect of the mind? And sometimes people will say my ego mind, or there's no my or mine. It's one ego. You know, it doesn't matter. It's one ego. So don't claim it. You know, it's not yours. Like, why do you want to claim it? It's the ego mind that we all share. And in this moment, that's the broadcast I'm receiving. And so now it's like, okay, you know, let me be still. It is with my thoughts I must work. It is only with my thoughts we can work. It is with our thoughts. We almost have to say that again and again and again. And it says here, it is with your thoughts, then we must work if your perception of the world is to be changed. So Jesus, the inner wisdom, inner guide, light, spirit, love, the universe, whatever name, wants to work with us. So we're not alone. It's not like, okay, you go off yourself and figure this out. No, we will work with you if we give our willingness. And that's really what we're doing here. We're willing. We're relaxing. We're willing. We're leaning into the places that feel really uncomfortable. Yesterday, I did this group Zoom session. Another woman was facilitating, and I liked what she said. She said, we need to learn how to get really comfortable with that which is really uncomfortable. To get really comfortable with that which is really uncomfortable. And that's like where, you know, the hairs and our things can just bristle, like the porcupine. It could just be, oh, I can't do that. I can't do that. But it's okay. It's okay. You know, just whatever we can, whatever things we can look at. This is not like, you know, if we have that story of the tortoise and the hare, I've always told people that know me, I'm the turtle. I'm the tortoise. I'm like slow and steady, slow and steady. There's no rush. There's no rush. In fact, when we do that, we end up like, we might do like spiritual bypasses and then we crash later, or we just miss a real learning opportunity, you know, that could really, the whole purpose, the ground of our being is love. The ground of our being is love. And we are on a mission to discover and experience and know that love deep to our core. Like, that is my desire, and I'm inviting you all to join with that. That is what this is for. It's not for judgment. It's not for anything else. Do not give it any egoic purposes. Take it from the ego and say, nope, this is only for healing. Only for healing. And I have guides and each other, and we're going to do this together. Okay? So, the world you see is a vengeful world, and everything in it is a symbol of vengeance. Each of your perceptions of external reality, it's in quotes, is a pictorial representation of your own attack thoughts. One can well ask if this can be called seeing. Is this really seeing? Is not fantasy a better word for such a process, and hallucination a more appropriate term for the result? So we can even use that and say, I seem to be having a nightmare here. This is feeling like nightmarish, and I'm really scared. Spirit, please help me wake up. Please help me wake up. Because we learn here in the Course, we can't wake ourselves up. We need this deeper power, this inner wisdom that is here to help us and wants to help us. So we can use all of this, that this is so uncomfortable. It's like a bad dream. Please help me wake up. What is it that's needed here to help me wake up? Because I'm willing. You see the world that you made, but you do not see yourself as the image maker. You cannot be saved from the world, but you can escape from its cause, which is in our mind, right? The cause is in the mind. The effect is outside. The body is an effect. Illness is an effect. World situations as we perceive it is an effect, relationships, everything. The cause is in the mind. This is what salvation means, to escape from a false cause, right? We talked about that yesterday too. The sense of peace coming from within. For where is the world you see when its cause is gone? And this is always the idea of like the movie camera is always helpful to me. Like, if you remember, if you ever watch something where they did the old fashioned like reels, and it would play, and you'd be seeing, the images, and then the the film would finish and suddenly it would be all light. I don't know if you remember that. If you ever had that experience, it would all be light. Right? Yeah. I see Maria. She's shaking her head. Yeah. So basically the film is gone. All that's left is light. That's all it is. And that's in our mind. The light is here. But right now, all this darkness we're collectively experiencing. Some people have been calling it like a collective panic attack. Collectively, we're all experiencing. It feels like the light is not here. I say this in Rochester where I live. We have very gray skies. And when it's really gray, it feels like the sun never came out. You know, it's not here, but it's there. I know it's there, but it feels like that. It feels like that. And we can bring those feelings into spirit and let's go beneath to what are the beliefs in my mind that are creating these feelings. That's the other thing. A lot of philosophies talk about feel better, better feeling, better feeling. That's going to take you so far until you go deeper into the cognition of what the mind is thinking and believing and holding on to, because it is the beliefs that produce the beliefs and thoughts that produce the feelings. So even the feeling level, sometimes it'll work. It will. You'll listen to a song and you'll feel better. And that's okay. Like, we have to use whatever tools help us. But what I'm expressing is this deeper healing that we have to go deeper into those beliefs. Okay. Vision already holds. So this is so beautiful. Vision, which is different from perception, because perception comes from a separated, fragmented view, and vision is what spirit wants to give us, which we don't have, which we need, which we want. And it's not, as we know, this is not the eyes, right? It's not the eyes, it's the inner vision. This is what we're after, the inner vision. Vision already holds a replacement for everything you think you see now. Loveliness. This is so beautiful. Loveliness can light your images and so transform them that you will love them even though they were made of hate. Can you imagine that? Loveliness can light our images and so transform them that we will love them even though they were made of hate. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. For you will not be making them alone. So in my perception, I misperceive a world or an aspect of the world because I do it with the ego. I do it by ego etching God out, right? I do it alone. Now I are joining with spirit and saying, okay, I don't have to do this alone. I can let that go. I don't have to fight that either. You know, we don't have to go on every post that's negative and say, no, don't post. Please don't post. Don't do this. We let it be, right? Forgiveness just waits. Forgiveness just watches. It just waits. So we just let it be. But we say there is a replacement. Okay. And it's going to tell us exactly how to do this. That's why I really love this lesson 23, because it almost has like a formula for us. And if some of us are mathematical or logical or intellectual, this can be an opportunity. Oops, sorry, I'm just going to mute this. Yeah. Okay, we're just getting a little bit of sound here. Okay, I'm sorry. I just wanted to see if it was. Oh, here we go. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm just going to mute so we just have a good recording. Okay, so I was talking about formulas. Yeah, so I really love the teachings of the Course in Miracles, and I think they appeal to me so much is that they're very logical. Like they say, the ego mind is logical, but it's insanely logical. And the Course is like sanity logical. Like how can we come to like A, B, C, D, like make it really simple. So it's going to show us that, and we're going to talk about that. So this idea, we're not making this alone because we're removing our allegiance from the separated ego self into the self that's true, the capital S of which we are all a part. The idea for today introduces the thought that you are not trapped in the world you see. Because its cause can be changed. This is so powerful. Its cause can be changed in our minds. in our minds. We have that power, right? So we can do all the things we're doing in the world. Many of us are reaching out to the elderly and we're serving and we're trying to see how our loved ones can be well. And those are beautiful. You don't have to stop anything. But at the same time, take this lesson in, because there's a deeper cause that wants to be undone in the mind. And the power of decision, right? That's another lesson. The power of decision is mine. The power of decision is ours. So the change, so let me read this. The idea for today introduces the thought that you're not trapped in the world you see because its cause can be changed. This change requires first that the cause be identified and then let go, that it can, so that it can be replaced. The first two steps in this process require your cooperation. The final one does not. Now let's think about this. First, we have to take responsibility for my perception. I have to take responsibility for whatever seems to be happening out there. It could be here in this body. It could be in the body of the one that's my beloved, right? It could be outside, everything. I take responsibility for what I feel. I take responsibility for what I see. But please, this is not with guilt. This is not like, you know, not to, because the ego is like so tricky, then like, oh, I'm bad, or I did this wrong, or what's wrong? No, I take responsibility the way I'm driving and I took a wrong turn, and the GPS will say, okay, do you still want to go where you want to go? If you do, then just turn here. It's not going to say, oh, you know, bad Seema, you took a wrong turn. I'm not going to give you the directions, right? So, but we do that to ourselves, right? We do that to ourselves. So we have to laugh. Let's just laugh at that. Give ourselves permission to laugh at that. And then I take responsibility. Why do I take responsibility? Because I want to be free of suffering. I want to know this love. I don't want to read about it. I don't want to just, you know, I use this analogy. If you have given me a picture of a brownie, I'm going to say, well, I want the brownie. I don't want to see the picture. I want to taste the brownie, right? So I want to experience the peace. That's why we're doing it. The beautiful Buddhist prayer, may all sentient beings be free of suffering. May all sentient beings be free of suffering. So that's why I take responsibility, because I know this is my way out of suffering and the way out for my brothers and sister. And Jesus tells us, you have a high tolerance for suffering, but it's not without limits. Every one of us reaches a point where we say, okay, no more, no more. And someone was saying, maybe, who was saying this? Maybe Mary Stroud, maybe she was telling me this idea of like rock bottom. Someone was saying like, we're hitting rock bottom with this experience. Like, it's like everything is falling, and it's almost like a call to action. You know, it's like pushing us out of our comfort zone. So we take responsibility that the cause is in the mind, and thank God it's in the mind, because it can be changed then. If it were truly outside, then I am a victim. Then I don't have power. Then everything the Course is teaching me is false then. It's all false, right? So both things can't be true, right? It says either you can be host to God or love or divine, or hostage to the ego or fear or hatred, right? We've heard that. So which do I want? You can't really be both. You really don't, you really can't. Oil and water cannot mix. They cannot mix. And we want that real clarity. Like, it has to be simple, clear, and consistent. Really. Like, this is not like there's just no room. There's no luxury. There's no luxury to do it this way. And we don't want to do it this way, because what are we doing? We're delaying our relief and we're prolonging our suffering, right? So we take responsibility. That's the first step, that the cause is in the mind. It is with our thoughts that we're going to work. And then the second one is that we want to let it go, right? So that we take the responsibility, and I want to let go of this. Spirit, show me what it is that I'm holding on to that seems to continue to bring this experience for me that I no longer want. I don't want this. This doesn't feel good. I don't want this. I had this experience where I was getting this email, and Maria and I actually had talked, and I was doing, so Italy was in the throes of it, and we weren't at all yet. She and I talked, schools were closed, all that stuff was happening. And I got this huge email, and it was from a doctor, and it was I could just feel like my alarm go up. I could just feel this fear. Like it was like, oh my God, oh my God. And I'm like, this is the spirit. This doesn't feel good. Please help me. This does not feel good. And like, you wouldn't believe it. Like a minute later, another email popped in and it was with a different perspective that just helped me feel like, okay, this is coming. But there was a calmness. Like in a minute, it changed. And it was really just this idea. This is my mind. I take responsibility. I accept it. I don't like this. I don't want this. That's it. That's it. It's those two things. And then it says, the first two steps require your cooperation, your willingness. The final one does not. I didn't like have to think about, okay, spirit, well, this is what I want you to do. And, you know, I'm going to direct you to, you know, to make this better. It just came. The final, it just comes. So let's letting spirit orchestrate the best way that my mind at that time needs the healing, which I don't know. And at that time, it was this other email that just let me relax and I could be okay. I could come to that space because we can't heal when we're in fear and panic, right? We can't. The stress response, once it kicks in, you know, the stress response, the fight or flight or freeze response, you can raise your hand. Most of you know this response, but right? So it is so quick. It is so quick. It's preparing you for like combat or so that you can run and flee or you're going to freeze. And I think all of us probably have had some levels of that where we just want to fight something. We want to hide or we're just like zombies. We just can't do anything. Right? How many of us have had, you know, one or all of those experiences at some time or another, right? Okay. So in that space, how can we take in these teachings? We can't. We just can't. You know? So we need to help each other, hold each other's hands. We need to, I know we're talking about social distancing and all that, but just like giving each other virtual hugs. You know, I'm here. I'm here. I'm here with you. I'm in the trenches with you. I'm not anywhere else. I'm right here with you, walking with you, you know, side by side, arm in arm. I'm here with you. Let's just breathe together. Let's just breathe. Let's just be. And then when we enter that space of relaxation, it's a whole new world, right? It's a whole new world. We let the body know. You don't have to prepare for combat. You don't have to go worry about how many toilet tissue is going to be there in the stores or, you know, all of the places that our mind goes. It's okay in this moment. And this is something we can say to us and each other and our beloveds. In this moment, it is enough. This is the only moment I have. This is the only moment I know. This is the only moment any one of us ever knows. And it is enough. It is enough. And usually from that space is when something will shift for us. In my experience, it will be like that. A phone call will come in or I'll just feel a prompt. Okay, get up now, Seema, you know, go do the laundry or go do this or, you know, something. Sometimes it's something physical I need to do just to move the body. Right? Walk outside, get some fresh air, paint, draw, whatever feels to be expressed. And please know, this is deep healing work we're doing for the whole universe. This is such profound work. And it is so sacred. And us saying yes to it means the angels and the gods and the goddesses and whatever you believe in, they're all with us. We are not alone. I just know this. We're not alone. I just know it. I just know it. I can feel it. I can feel it. Okay. So the final one does not. The vision comes when we take those two steps of responsibility and the choice that I don't want this. And the vision comes in the way that spirit, it's best for us in that time. Besides using it throughout the day as the need arises, it's saying about 5 practice periods are required in applying, and we can use this as we feel guided as many times as we want. As you look about, oops, hold on 1 second. Got some technology going on here. So give me 1 minute. I was off that screen. So the screen, okay, here we go. Yes. Okay. As you look about you, repeat the idea slowly to yourself first, and then close your eyes and devote about a minute to searching your mind for as many attack thoughts as occur to you. As each one crosses your mind, say, I can escape from the world I see by giving up attack thoughts about whatever. It's a blank, about whatever. Hold each attack thought in mind as you say this and dismiss that thought and go on to the next. So this is so lovely because, you know, so many times when, before I really got deeply into the Course in Miracles, I studied many different spiritual traditions. And many of you here, I think, are Course students. Some of you are not. And this is not about, you know, one way or the other way, but I just want to share with you why I thought this was so wise. And it kind of brings us back to Rumi, that we want the love, we want the miracles, we want the healing, but our job is to look at every block and obstacle that stands in the way. So we cannot jump into love, we cannot jump into the miracle if all these obstacles are in the way. It's like saying, I want to get to that side of the room and I've got a pile of stuff in front of me, I have to clear it. Like, it's not good or bad, that's just what it is. I have to clear it. And it's even saying, search your mind for as many attack thoughts. Search your mind so that you can give them up. And it says, hold it in mind as you say it and dismiss it. Dismiss it. So it's not that, this is like a really deep, deep way to heal, because we're not trying to like analyze it or figure it out. Now, if something comes up and there's an emotion, then let's be with it. We're not doing spiritual bypasses. We're not suppressing it. But for a lot of times, you can just let it come and let it go. Let it come, see it, and let it go. So it can be simpler. It can be simpler. And I'm going to show you how, I'm going to try to get that diagram and show you how this person did it, where she really just did a whole catalog of what was going on in her mind. And I thought it was really powerful. But the idea is, again, like with gentleness, like the attack thoughts are there. No need to hide them. No shame, no guilt. They're there. Okay. It's like, you know, I'm here and I can see there's a corner and there's a lot of stuff there that needs eventually to be sorted out. It's there. It's not going to go anywhere. You know, I'm going to see it tomorrow. I'm going to see it the next day. Eventually I'll sort it out, right? It's like that. So in our minds too, we've got pockets, we've got corners, we've got little places. This coronavirus is saying, please clean it out. Do a self inventory. Please clean it out. Please do this for everyone. Do this for everyone, because there is so much love for you. There is so much joy. There is so much happiness that is underneath this. So please allow me to come. Let me trigger you. Let me, the Facebooks, whoever is triggering you, let it come. Let it come. But bring it into this beautiful purpose of, it's from my mind. It's the causes in my mind. And I don't want this. And I want the healing. So keep giving it this beautiful purpose of spirit, of forgiveness, of healing. All right. Now it says, in the practice periods also include thoughts of attacking and being attacked, that they're one and the same. This is also non-dual, right? So I could be a victim of something, but I might be someone that I have said something, you know, in that ego space, and it's all one. It's all one. It comes from all one space, because it's not love. It's not love. And all of it can be brought up. When I felt I was a victim, when perhaps someone else felt that from me, whatever it was, let's release it. Let's ask for the forgiveness. Let's release it. Their effects are exactly the same because they are exactly the same. You do not recognize this as yet, and you are asked at this time only to treat them as the same in today's practice periods. We are still at the stage of identifying the cause of the world you see. When you finally learn that thoughts of attack and of being attacked are not different, you'll be ready to let the cause go. So that's lesson 23. And let me see. Yes, I think I can do it here. Give me 1 second. I'm going to try to see if I can pull this out of here. Okay. I think So just, if you'll just be patient with me, and I'm trying to dig this out. There's a couple of, let me see if I can find this. Okay. All right, no, I don't think that's going to work. So if you want to just take a little pause, just stretch, I'm going to find this and I'm going to get it ready for us. But if some of you need to take like a bathroom break or just step out for a minute or stretch, go ahead and do that. Okay, well, I'm going to try to dig this out of here. Can you see this screen with me? For those of you who are still here, you can see it? Okay. All right. Can you all see it? Okay. Mary, thanks to you. I had texted this to you, so I was able to get it. Yeah, look at that. Spirit provides, right? Even for the technologically challenged ones like me. Okay. All right. So let's see. Yeah, I'll just kind of wait for the others to come. Okay. I think most of us are here. All right. So you look at what this person did. Belief one, that I'm a body. Hold on. I've got to move this over so I can read it. Okay. I'm a separate, I believe I'm a separate body. I believe viruses are separate bodies. I believe that my body has over which I have no control. I believe that physical bodies, physical barrier systems are my only outside attack. I believe in
Seema.
Yeah.
It goes across.
Oh.
Yeah. There's part of it on the other side. So yeah, that's why it's not making sense. So
thank you.
Just wanted to let you know.
That's why
you might go back to number two. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks so much, Mary. I'm so glad we're doing this together. Thank you. I would have read the whole thing and thought, oh, okay. All right. So let's do this again. I believe I'm a separate body. So this person, Anne, and she gave me permission to use this. She just wrote out all of her beliefs about bodies and illness. And really those beliefs are those attack thoughts. Those are the thoughts that come from the ego of separation. So I believe I'm a separate body. Now, who of us, we all believe we're a separate body, right? I believe viruses are separate bodies, right? So now bodies are separate, viruses are separate, and capable of attack. Okay, I'm reading across now. I believe that my body has creative powers of its own over which I have no control. I believe that physical distance, my body's physical barriers, and its immune system are my only protection from outside attack. And for those of us who are on the call yesterday, we did this whole thing about the laws of God, the laws of love versus the laws of nutrition, the laws of infection, the laws of vaccines, the laws of disease and all of that, right? So, but it's almost, I think it's so powerful if we can really just put it out there and write that out, you know, journal, what are my beliefs? What am I believing? And she likes to do it like she had this art. And so she did it this way. But you might just have a simple journal and just take it out and do it that way. Or if you don't like journal, you might speak it out and record it. So belief five, I believe in cells and single-celled organisms separate from myself, right? That the coronavirus is separate from me. I'm separate from the coronavirus and it can attack me. I can be attacked and then I can endanger others. Wow, like all of us, right? These are beliefs that this person is really releasing for all of us. So let me just keep moving this down. Okay. I believe that viruses attack cells, take them over, and infect the host, leading to sickness and sometimes death. I believe viruses are contagious and spread through the air. I believe my mother is elderly and very susceptible to contracting it. Yesterday, my friend Philippe was on the call and we had a discussion about the elders. And how we seeing them that way is weak and vulnerable, right? Because that's what we've learned. I believe that I am a body not free and not as God created me. This is so powerful because sometimes we like to use the core statements as mantras. I am not a body. I am free. I am as God created me. Most of us know that's like a very powerful, very profound, deep lesson of the course. And we keep repeating it and we have to watch ourselves. Sometimes when we repeat it, we feel the peace. And if that's the case, that's wonderful. Keep going. But sometimes you're repeating it and you're feeling a little, but I believe I'm a body. Like I remember Joe's on the call with us and our teacher, Patty, who I don't know, she introduced me to the course. I'm not sure with Joe, but she would talk about in her lessons, she would say, I'm not a body, but I sure feel like a body when my knee hurts. I'm not a body, but I sure feel like a body when I, hit this thing. And it's okay for us to like expose our beliefs. That's the only way we're going to have the experiences we want. And so I'm so grateful that she wrote this down, that I believe that I am a body, that I'm not free, and I'm not as God created me. I actually believe the opposite. And I need to expose that belief. Just expose it like it said that, what is it? What I'm responsible, I bring it up and I don't want this. So let's just continue. Okay. Yeah. So we read this one. Okay. A body made of cells with a programmed life and DNA with a programmed life destined to die and be a symbol of the death, destruction and defiance of God. Who is life? So all these beliefs I hand over to spirit. Okay. Would this be useful to share this picture with you? Would that be helpful? Okay. All right. So I'm going to stop sharing and I'm going to bring us all together. Okay. All right. So I wanted to, this is perfect time for me to stop talking now. So my desire was to illustrate that example, first bringing in the possibility of this can be seen differently. This can be this uninvited guest. But then we have all of this healing work that we need to do. And here's a lesson that can help us. And here's an example of someone who's raising up those beliefs. Okay? So now I'm going to be quiet and I'm just going to ask whoever wants to express to share. Some of you have your videos on and some of you don't, and it's totally okay. It's totally okay. If you'd like to turn on your videos so we can see each other, that's okay too. So whatever you feel, and if you feel called to say something or you just want to take it in, it's all good. It's all good. So you can raise your hand, or some of you know on the Zoom on the participants, you can click that and you can raise like a digital hand. So Mary or I will see it either way. Yeah, Maria. Okay. Thank you. I wanted to hear from you. So Maria, you're in Italy. So please. Yes. We want to hear.
Hi, everyone. So yes, I'm Italian. I live in Italy. So, Italy was one of the first countries after China to be affected by the coronavirus. And still today we are in lockdown, maybe until May. We don't know when we will be able to go back to the normal life. But respect what you have taught us today about this lesson, about these reflections, I want to share a thing that is occurring here in Italy, actually, between people. So we are deeply divided in our culture, in our society today, between those who try to watch the situation in a positive way, in a constructive way, trying to learn something from this experience. And there is another part of the country and the society who is really fighting this way to see the things occurring around us. So now we don't have only the coronavirus emergency, but we have also a social emergency about views of this experience. And I think that this will be very dangerous for our immune system, for our ability to cope with this situation. So I'm deeply grateful to be able to join with people around the world who are trying to make an effort and a practice to see the situation, to leave the situation in a constructive way, trying to be still, to be present, to cultivate positive awareness of what is happening right now. Because I think that this is the only way to make a community outside the community. Today we are all in the same situation. We started to be asked to not stay together also in our family. We have to live in different rooms. We can't touch. Today is Father's Day in Italy. Mm. I can't hug my father today because of the lockdown. But so this is why this is so important to reach out with people who are trying to leave the situation in a very positive way in order to create a global awareness of love, and deep willingness to open the mind to learn something about this situation. And when all this will be over, because all this will be over one day or another, we will go back in the street. We can hug again each other more and more stronger. And this will be, I think, the best gift from the coronavirus. So I'm deeply, deeply grateful for reaching you out in this particular moment for all humanity. Grazie.
And I'm grateful to you, Maria, because we became Facebook friends a couple of months ago. Maria actually read my book and did a really beautiful, it was just really beautiful what she shared with me. But after that, I've been following you, and you did like a concert. You did a guitar. Yes. You had your guitar and you were playing it. I saw that. So tell us about what inspired you to do that. And we've heard about people are singing to each other. Yes. So please tell us about that.
Yes. Here in Italy, we started to organize flash mobs on the balconies of our homes since we cannot reach out to each other. Just to say, I went to the door a few minutes before because my neighbor left some masks for my family on the door. So because we cannot talk to each other, and so we greeted from the stairs. But so this is the situation, and so we started to create flash mobs, and every day at noon, we sing the Italian anthem, the national anthem. And at 6 o'clock, at 6 p.m., every day, we sing and we play something that we want, trying to stay together. And there is plenty of people who are celebrating their birthdays, for example, on the balcony, all alone. And this is maybe the first time that you get to know who is the person before you on the balcony. Mm. So this situation is very strange, but it's also something very useful because there is a sense of community that we never experienced before. And we will going on, we keep do this practice until the quarantine will end. But just today, our president said that school and work and everything will be locked down totally, totally. That means also drugstores for food. They will be completely closed down from starting next week until maybe May. Mm. So you can imagine the situation is not really easy. So it's important to play, to sing, to stay together in some way.
Well, you're such a beacon of light because I look at your Facebook pages and I see what you're posting and what you're doing, and you're just really shining your light very, very brightly.
And I try my best.
I think all of us are so grateful for you being here and joining with us. And you know, just what you said, it is what it is, but we're finding ways to connect, we're finding ways to play, we're finding ways to, you know, be together. And it's wow, it's like showing, you know, certainly this is going to teach us that we're not bodies, we're minds, right? It's really teaching us that how can minds join, because bodies cannot join. It does not, you know, the course teaches bodies don't join, but minds do. So but you're like really like you're I feel like you're like this brave person that you're just holding and we want to support you because you're really leading us, you know, you're inspiring us. So however we can support you, we're here.
Thank you.
So thank you. Really. Thank you for your courage. And you're just, it's so beautiful. I mean, I just see you all the time, what you're doing and, you know, what you're sharing, and you're being very real. You're not doing spiritual bypasses. You're not pretending. It's not, you're just, you really are. So just really, thank you. Thank you. Okay. Anyone else feel they'd like to share, or anything come up for them that they'd like to express? Yeah. Oh, I think there you go, Mary. Yep, you got it.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Maria, for that. Wow. The message from Italy, and they tell us that we're one step behind Italy. So it's kind of like you guys are leading the way. And I love that you're sharing that and the feelings, the social, views that are different, because it's no different anywhere. And what I'm getting to see is, what I'm really kind of wrestling with is, the social views that I'm seeing, the ones that are going into fear and all of its fear, and there's a lot of anger and there's still some blame here, you know, in this country, and noticing what it brings up in me, you know, and it's wanting to honor this opportunity to see that, you know, it's triggering me. And so, you know, is the coronavirus the healer, the problem, or is the problem in me? And I'm really getting that it's in me, and I'm seeing the oneness, though. I'm seeing, you know, when you shared, I'm seeing the oneness of the one mind. It, you know, it's, we're all experiencing this, and we're all getting to, you know, even the views that you're talking about, the social views, even those views are just representative of, you know, where people are, and they can only be where they are. And I want to honor that. Yesterday, I went to watch a movie with my daughter and granddaughter. They invited me over. We've been trying to see this movie for a while. And while we were there, I said, you know, my daughter is really in fear. And she's very, you know, I've judged, seen her as being trying to control everything. And, you know, she's trying to convince me that this is scary and I'm trying to deny it. And I said, you know, I really don't have fear of getting the coronavirus. Mm-hmm. And she said, well, she said, let's see if you say that when you can't breathe and there are no ventilators available. Mm-hmm. And I just stopped and I went, yeah, you're probably right. And I wasn't saying what she heard. I was saying for me, I want to, it's not, that's not what my fear is, getting it. It's, there's, you know, there's, I want to see it differently. But she got to, you know, she said, I sure don't want to watch that. I sure don't want to see that. And I could feel the love, you know, it's the love there. But, the movie, you know, the movie brought up, some tears in all of us. And at one point, my granddaughter just broke down and started wailing. And, I realized that, we've all been holding in a lot of emotion, and oh, I haven't been able to stop crying since. I woke up in the middle of the night last night and I just was in tears. I was just in tears. And I just was asking Spirit, what is this? What, you know, help me. What is this for? And it was, I was getting the message that this is, you know, this is what this is all for, is to bring all this up and let it come up to be, felt, grieved. And, you know, I really am thinking and realizing that a fear that's coming up for me is, you know, my family seems to be wanting everything to go back to normal. I don't want that. I don't want, you know, it's like, I want, you know, it's like, but is that my ego that's going, no, that's not what we want. We want a new normal. So it's like, that feels kind of egoic. Because I want something different than what you want. And I've been studying the course and I've been a spiritual student for 30 years. I know better and I don't want to do that anymore. So it's like releasing it all. And oh, Seema, thank you for, and even for today, you know, the message, and even today's message really told me the same thing. What is it? Hold on a second. Let miracles replace all grievances, which is the follow-up to what you just did today. So that was the next step I needed, because the grievances have to come up before the miracles can appear. That's part of the purification process. And there's, you know, that's the gift for me. And it doesn't feel good. I kind of like feeling good. I noticed, you know, we've all been kind of, even if it's the norm, it was a little more comfortable, and it's like we're all being pushed out of our comfort zone. So I'm willing, you know, I'm glad you brought up the willingness, because I am willing to face the grievances. I'm willing to face the judgments. I'm willing to face the fears. I'm willing to face my grievances. My attack thoughts, and recognize that whatever I'm seeing out there, you know, the social views that I'm seeing are really mine. But I can't see it from the ego. It's really stepping back and letting, you know, this is what, I know what I want. I want Spirit to do this. I want to turn it over. I want to surrender. I want to forgive. I want to allow. I want to love. Above all, I want to love. And that's, you know, that was so poignant in that movie, But Spirit did give me the message in the middle of the night, in the middle of tears and rain and thunder and all that was going on last night, that if I'm supposed to get the coronavirus, I'll get it. There's nothing I can do to change that. Mm-hmm. So it was like, let it go. Let mm-hmm. that go. But keep aware that you will know that there are some, you know, like Seema, like you've been talking about, there are some protocols, methods, some ways to, you know, they're going to come to do that. And if it's social distancing, you know, lockdown doesn't sound good, but I think that may be coming. And can I be open to that and know that it's a good faith effort? You know, it's a good faith effort for people who have all these beliefs, and those beliefs, I want to deny that I have those 10 beliefs that Anne listed, and I thank you for those, but I think I still have, you know, obviously I do, because, you know, there's fear, and there's still pain, and there's still attacks, thoughts still coming, but oh my goodness, I'm so grateful for you guys and for the Course, and having this is such a gift, to have a place where we can come, where we're all willing, so willing, to see from God's eyes and see from love and know that that's all that's really going on here ever, ever, ever. So, yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much.
I think you expressed so beautifully, Mary, what all of us, I mean, I know I've felt those waves, and it was so beautiful when you were sharing. What I heard was, between whether it's you and your daughter or you and your granddaughter, like the real fear was her love for you and her concern for you, right? Underneath it, right? And so isn't that interesting? Like how all the tears, it's because I'm worried about you. I don't want to see you. That's where my fear is. Underneath my fear is my love for you. And then you know, and wow. Like, so, and I think those are joinings that are concealed in separation, in separate interest. Those are the joinings that are right under there. And it's really beautiful that you know, with all the tools you know, and your devotion and your dedication, and you're like a trooper. You're like a trooper. You just keep true. You know, you're there. And the movie was there, and that was a nice, relaxed way. You know, you don't have to talk about the Course. You don't have to. You just, the movie brings it up. It flushes it up. So, it sounds like a beautiful healing. And also, like, when we have, at the end, Anne wrote, you know, Spirit, take these beliefs from me. And we have this, like, a prayer. I remember something my mom would say, like, the prayer would end, I give you everything. And then in the night, I take it back again. In the morning, I start the prayer again. In the night, I take it back again. You know, we would talk about this, like, you know, my body is yours, my wealth is yours, this is yours. And then the night, I take it back, and then I do it again. But here's something that I learned from Kirsten Buxton, who we both know. And it was something in the mystical mind training. And it was like about, okay, Spirit, I have experiences based on the beliefs I have, right? And I've the perception, and I've exposed those beliefs now. So you bring me experiences that teach me new beliefs. So let Spirit do the heavy lifting for you. Let Spirit do that work for you. Right? So I have a belief that I'm a body. I could get hurt. I could get ill. This is a belief I have. Spirit, give me experiences that comfort me and show me that I'm much more than the body. Give me those experiences. So we can take that and turn it around and ask Spirit to send that. So even that is Spirit's job. You know, let's make it even less on us. Less on us. So we don't go into a space of, I have to do this somehow, and I have to do it in this way, and, you know, that thing. Because that's another place the ego can hook us. It can hook us. So thank you for expressing, because I feel this could be a practice as we're, you know, rooting these up, we're giving them over, and send me those experiences. Send me the emails. Send me the conversations. Send me the posts and all, you know, that, you know, here's like in Italy, we're reading all of this and Spirit sends us Maria and she's this like shining light, right? Look at that. So, right? Look at that, that one person. If we see one person with the light, shall we go to the light or shall we go to the darkness? Let's all go to the light. You know, let's strengthen her. Let's join with her. Right. So I think it's like that. It's like we will Spirit send us the experiences. And someone who was on the call, she signed off. I think it was Solvig. She put it in the chat and I'm sorry. I keep forgetting which remote I had, but she was saying, thank you to all of you. The singing is spreading to Denmark. Have to go now. Love you all. So, you know, it's like this thing, right? This way it's contagious, right? Love is contagious, you know, all of that. So, let's all join in inviting all the experiences we need to release all the beliefs that are no longer serving. The ones we know, the ones we don't know. Let us be guided to do whatever tools we need, whatever movies we need, whatever conversations we need, whatever other group settings, whatever is needed. Spirit, you be in charge. You be in charge. You show the way. You lead the way. I am here. So thank you, Mary, because I think you really expressed that rawness of what's coming up, you know, and to be tender with that. So thank you. Thank you so much. Okay. Okay, we're about time. So we will be here again. You know, it's like the same time, same bat channel, same. We'll be here tomorrow. And we'll be here for whatever it feels needed to be here. We've talked about 21 days. Today's day 2. But Spirit's in charge. We don't know. We might be doing this longer or shorter. But really much love to each one of you for your commitment, your willingness, and holding the space for each other. Okay. And I'm gonna just unmute everyone so that we can all just sort of unmute all. Yeah, we can just say goodbye or whatever we want to express to each other.
Thank you. That was beautiful. Just absolutely beautiful. So grateful to everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you. Love you.
Hi, Alexandria.
Hey. Hi there. Good to see you. Bye.
Good to see you.
Nice to see you, Joe. Nice to see you, Alexandra. And is it Jennifer? Jessica. Jessica. Okay, sorry. Hi, nice to see you. Yeah.
Hey, nice to see you.
Okay. All right. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye. Much love.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye-bye. Bye.
Bye.